Psalms 121, verse 3 and 4. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shalom, my dear brethren. We thank God for this wonderful time together yet again to discuss on the fourth part of our series that we have been discussing this week on God's work. By God's grace, we meditated on His words of life the past 3 days on God's work for us and God's work in us and God's work through us. Today, we shall meditate on God's work that has been going on around us that most of the times we may fail to notice and most of the times we cannot see, but we can only believe. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 and 9, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways or my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Amen. God wants us to understand that we can't always decode what is happening in our lives, and we cannot predict or try to see what is the root cause of a certain problem or what is the solution of a particular challenge or why we are enduring persistent pain or sufferings or whatever the challenge that our heart may trouble. Most of the times there won't be a transparent or clear-cut answer to it. But we can always find the answer in our faith that God is always with us and He is always watching over all of us and He has been working around us for us to turn things around for the benefit of our spiritual life. But our physical life on this earth will try to kindle the flesh and try to close our spiritual eyes by overwhelming us with all the problems and pain and the confusions that may arise from the situations. But as a child of God, we received the word in our lives and God has given us the revelation. We inherited His name. And when we embark on this journey, it's not going to be an easy road. But God says, "I am watching you all the time." In Exodus chapter 3 verse 7 to 9, when the Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." My dear brethren, when the Lord said this, "I have heard their cry," let's just stop there. When the Lord said, "I have heard their cry," when those people were crying, when they were crying, do they know that the Lord is hearing my cry? If we don't have faith, if we don't trust in the Lord, the pain or suffering or the challenge or the trial that we are going through, if we don't remember the Lord during the trial, that the Lord is watching over me, He is listening me, He is aware of what is going on, because the Lord said, "Behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me." He says His children's cry has come to Him. We say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And God says, "I am preparing everything for you. I am making things to open the doors for you, to shut the doors for you. Everything that is required to protect your soul and to use your life as a meaningful, faithful servant for Him and for His children. Amen. So that's why I am very inspired to see the synergy between what happened in the Old Testament. Everything is physical, literal. And what happens in our times, everything is spiritual. And the inspiration between these two different era of time can only be possible if God Himself gives us a spirit to open our eyes and to open our hearts to receive the understanding, my dear brethren. When in Exodus chapter 3, when God said, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. God says, I am concerned about you and I know what's going on in your life right now. I'm watching you, but we may not see it, but we can only believe. Amen. Because when Jesus said, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. John 13 verse 7. So Jesus replied that whatever you see now, you may not be able to comprehend with your little brain because it is limited. But the faith that I have given to you is not limited. It is my faith. The truth that I have given to you, it is not limited. It is my truth. Hold on to that. Do not hold on to your own understanding. Do not hold on to your knowledge. Do not try to question too much. Faith doesn't need question marks. Faith is always comes with full stop, which is I trust in the Lord no matter what. Amen. I believe in my Christ and no matter what. Amen. So God says, later you will understand. When the right time comes, I will reveal everything to you at the right time. And I always take it as a very important lesson for me about what happened between Jesus and Thomas. Similar to what we discussed about Jesus and Peter, this is another beautiful way of lesson to all of us. John chapter 20 verse 28. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We say, blessed be the name of the Lord. This verse, I try to meditate on it over and over again, because God is able to help us by giving His understanding, and it is limitless. Amen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. When God is working around us, when we cannot see, when we can't do much about it, when we think that we are cornered and we can't do any much work, God Himself said, be still and know that I am God. Amen. And Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Believed what? That God is with me. Blessed is he who has the God of Jacob has his help. Isn't it? Amen. So when God says, I am working around you, that means whatever happens behind the screen, it may not be revealed all the time. But we can only believe that God is moving the mountains for you and me, my dear brethren. God and the relationship between Moses, Aaron, and Joshua with God is a lesson for all of us as a fellowship, as a ministry, as a body of Christ, how they worked together spiritually to perform all the tasks, to win all the battles for God's glory. Amen. Exodus chapter 17 verse 11 to 13. When Moses raised his hand, Israel would prevail. But when he rested his hand, Amalek would prevail. But the hands of Moses were heavy, and they took a stone and placed it under him. And he sat on it. Aaron and Hur supported his hands on each side. And his hands were steady until sundown. Amen. So this is happening on one side. On the other side, we read, and Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Joshua is fighting with Amalek and his people, and he defeated them with the edge of the sword. But the same battle is also going on because Moses raised his hand so that Israel would prevail. Whenever he rested his hand, Amalek would prevail. So there are two different tasks that are going on parallelly, and God has given instructions to both of them. And Aaron and Hur, they were supporting Moses. Whenever Moses' hands were heavy and tired, God's work is complete in his family, in his fellowship, my dear brethren, because God said, where there are two gathers in my name, I will dwell among them. Amen. So God wants us to move as a pack. God wants us to believe and feel and work as one spirit, one body of Christ, because he is one. Amen. When Lord said to Joshua, in Joshua chapter 6 verse 1 to 21, we study on what happened when God told him, Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. Lord did not say, I will give Jericho into your hand. He says, even before the task was performed, even before Joshua began to initiate the actions to be done, God says, I have given Jericho into your hand, even before you start the battle. I have given the reward even before you run the race. Lord says, it's king and the mighty men of valor I have given to you. What you do, you shall march around the city, all you men of war, and you shall go around the city once, and this you shall do 6 days. God says, this is what you're going to do, and do it for 6 days, and it will come to pass. Now, let's assume all of us are marching around the city for 6 days along with Joshua, but God only spoke to Joshua and not to me and you. And we just follow the order of Joshua. If we are marching around the Jericho city for 6 days, first day we are walking and we might think, okay, Joshua has given us some order and we are following. Second day we are walking, our legs may feel some pain. Our heart may create some confusion because it is poisonous, and may think nothing is happening. What is going on? Why we are simply following Joshua? Is there anyone else better than him? Because we people without God's Holy Spirit, we are sinners, liars, and we are not righteous, and we are completely overwhelmed by the flesh and the darkness of this world without God and without His Spirit. So all those people who were following Joshua's command and marching around the city, if they do not believe that God is working around us, God is working behind all these scenes, and we just do what was supposed to be done by marching around the city for 6 days. They did not destroy the city. They did not attack anyone. They just march around the city. God said, I will get it done. I have given Jericho into your hand. And it was done. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 to 19, God has given us his revelation, his word, and it produces the understanding of his mighty works, which is way beyond our human little mind. But it is always within the reach of our faith and our truth and our love for God, because he lives in his word. Amen. We read, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We cannot receive the understanding of God's word without His Spirit. Amen. And God says that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. The greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. We say, blessed be the name of the Lord. The understanding that enlightens our spirit, that God is always with me, no matter what, how deep the valley is, whatever the problem is going on, God is always working for me, working around me, working for my brother, working for my sister, working for my brethren whom I love in Christ. God's fellowship, God's ministry, He is the head, He leads. Amen. All the work that is being carried out, God is watching over all of us. When I read this verse from Ephesians chapter 1, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, I remembered what happened between God and Jonah. The prophet Jonah was given a specific task, God given a work for him to carry out. But what happened, Jonah, he was very much focusing on the work that was supposed to be carried out through him, but he failed to see the God's work around him, my dear brethren. If you recall what happened between God, Jonah, and the people of Nineveh, when things got delayed, Jonah, who was expecting God's work to be carried out through him on time, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry because he was only looking at the work that was given to him and to be carried out through him. He was very self-centered and he failed to see around God's work around, which is always for His people. He is full of compassion. He is full of love. We can never ever forget that. Amen. So when he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this when I said, I was still in my country, therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Most of the times our eyes are short-sighted, very similar to what happened to Jonah. We may tend to decline, but if we allow God's word and God's spirit to examine the bottom of our hearts, the deep intentions of our hearts, whenever we are pushed in our lives, let it be in our family, in our workplace, in our walk with God, whenever there are stones being thrown at us, criticisms, persecutions, pain, sufferings, we just behave in such a way that as if we do not see God's work around us. And God replied to Jonah so beautifully, "Is it right for you to be angry?" He is also asking us, "Is it right for you to be doubtful? Is it right for you to be impatient? Is it right for you to be angry? If you say you belong to me, then what rights that you have to feel angry about anything, isn't it?" When Lord replied to Jonah, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored. The plant which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. You are not a creator." And God says, "Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" God is full of compassion. He is full of love. God is love. We cannot use the revelation and the knowledge and the wisdom that we receive from God's word to despise those people who haven't yet received it, my dear brethren. All those people who are in denominational darkness or in other religion, still waiting to listen to the word of God and accept their lives to Christ, it's just a matter of time. As we know, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, and it will happen. And we were like them, even I would say we were even worse than them in such a darkness, and God showed us His grace and mercy. He is able to show the same even more in excellence way to anyone. God is no respecter of persons. We have to appreciate and respect God's work that is going on around us. We have absolutely no rights to judge or no rights to despise those who are in denominational darkness or those who are completely lost in false doctrines. We can only have this soul burden. As Lord said, should I not pity Nineveh? And we shall say, should I not pity the people whom I know they are still in darkness? Should I not pity people who are still struggling to find the truth? We are here in this world to live is Christ, and to live is Christ is to spread His love, to spread His word, and to be the vessel to bring life to those people who are dead in sin, my dear brethren. God's work around us, it's a representation of how we honor our master and how we pay respects to the trust and the faith that He has given us, the love that He showed us. He can show it to anyone, my dear brethren. In Romans 8, verse 28 to 32, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Amen. When Jesus said, I have glorified you, I have finished my work, what we are doing now is we are doing the works of God, and we will do until He says so. Amen. Until He take us. Until He come and take us with Him. Amen. So what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. If you believe that God is working around you, then who can be against you? The most challenging and the most poisonous and the most cunning threat to our spiritual life is ourselves, our own flesh, our own thoughts, our own actions, our own decisions, our own mind that always tries to fight with us. That is why we need God's word, our Lord Jesus Savior Christ, who is able to separate us from our flesh with the power of Holy Spirit, so that we can be a presentable vessel for Him. Amen. So if God says, if I am with you, who can be against you? Then why are you worried? Why are you worried so much? Because most of the times when we are struggling in pain, when we lose people whom we love, when all the odds are against us and we are cornered to the extent that we can only pray, we can only wait upon the Lord, God is always fighting for us. Let's do not forget that. God is always fighting for us. Amen. The journey of Joseph is quite a beautiful story for all of us to remember. When his brothers pulled him and lifted him out of the pit and they sold him to the Ishmaelites, right? So when they sold him for just 20 shekels of silver, Joseph was moved to Egypt. He was taken to Egypt. And when Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, where all the prisoners were confined, and Joseph had some very unique experience with those people there. And most importantly, we read, when Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. And the Lord was with him in the prison. I just often ask myself, I am the prisoner of Christ and I don't want to be free in this world. I would always want to remain as a prisoner of Christ, like the way Noah sealed himself, shut the door inside the ark to escape from the flood. And we shall find shelter in his word, and we are protected in God's word. We are shielded in the house of the Lord. And the way God dealt Joseph's life, from the pit in the desert all the way to Potiphar's house, and from Potiphar's house all the way to Pharaoh's prison, and from Pharaoh's prison all the way to Pharaoh's palace next to the position of a king. We are not just being greedy about the tremendous growth that Joseph had. We are just looking at the marvelous works of God that was going on around the life of Joseph. He didn't see it. He didn't see what was coming. He just played the game. He didn't see what was coming. He just did what he could. But God was working around him. There was a purpose. As long as we believe in the Lord, whatever happens, even if our lives are taken, the Lord says, whether you live or die, you are mine. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Amen. I would like to share a simple testimony of what happened in my family that I learned from my dear father in my home. I learned this from him, from my grandfather, from my mother, all the stories that they said about their past. My father was not good in studies. He was keep on failing all his exams when he was a school student. But he was a very good football player and he was a rebel in his home. He and his father, my grandfather, the relationship was very bad. And he wanted to become a football player in my state. So he ran away from his house because my grandfather didn't agree to it. And he wanted him to study, but my father was not willing to listen to my grandfather. So he escaped from his home. He ran away to some other city to pursue his dream. And he joined the state team, but within few months, they removed him from the team because he was the only Christian in the team. Many years ago, the religious discrimination is extremely worse, and it is still worse to the extent that fake Christians hate the true Christians, isn't it? So he was removed and he was ashamed to go back to his home. So for the next 1 or 2 years, he was wandering, doing whatever the work that he could do for his survival, selling vegetables, fish, wherever he could find work, he was working. Then his father, my grandfather, he found him and he admitted him in a school to study, to become a teacher, like the prodigal son story. And my father, he became a hostel warden. Then he slowly studied in part-time and he became a school teacher. And then my father and my mother got married. And my mother was 19 years old when she got married. They had absolutely nothing when they got married. Nothing but just the debts. So they worked and struggled very hard to raise me and my younger brother. I was told by my mother's fellow workers, her teachers who worked with her, and my uncles from my father, that my mother used to carry me to the school in a village that was about 6 to 7 kilometers away from the train station. No bus and no transportation those days. She had to walk through a forest to reach the village along with her school teachers. And she was doing this for many years. And I was literally grown up in the school ever since I was born. And they had this small baby cradle outside the classrooms. It's just an open classrooms. And my mother used to go and teach. And whenever she gets rest, she come and take care of me, feed me. And I was just growing in the school with her and with her colleagues. And after I grown up, I joined the school where my father was working. He was a higher secondary school teacher. I also studied under him. During those years, I did not realize or appreciate the hard work and the suffering sacrifice made by my parents because I was young. My father, he usually get up at 4 a.m. in the morning and he starts the tuition at 5 o'clock in the morning. From 5 to 7 or 8 a.m. he will teach the students one batch. Then he'll go to school, teach the whole day. He'll come back home and he will start the evening tuition at around 6 o'clock in the evening for a second batch of students, different set of students. And he will teach until 8 or 9 p.m. This was his routine for many years until I was 15 years old. And then one day he fell sick with some severe chest pain and doctor told our family that he cannot conduct tuition anymore because his health is very bad. So it is better he just settle with the school and do not have any tuition at all. He had to work very hard to build a small house for us. And my father, they did everything to raise me and my brother. But I didn't realize or I didn't appreciate what they did. And around 5 to 7 years ago, my father had a major heart surgery and also his toe was amputated because of diabetic foot gangrene, two major surgery. And now my father is almost bedridden. He cannot stand. He cannot walk. The two veins taken from both his legs because of the open heart surgery. And he has very severe diabetes. So he's struggling. One day my father told me that he never imagined when he was a strong football player that he would reach a position in his life that he can't even stand. He can't even go to a restroom. And he would need people to carry him and support him. He was so emotional when he said this to me. Then I remembered when I came to Singapore for my studies, I really wanted to become like a football player like my father, which he missed. I really wanted to fulfill his desire. That time I was not a strong Christian. I was going to church. My faith was not strong. I was not sincere. I just like a Sunday Christian that time. I was addicted to play football and I joined the university team. I got selected and I was playing with a player from Egypt who used to play for his national team. When I heard that, pride entered my heart. I was so proud about myself and I told my parents that I joined a university team. I'm playing professional games, this and that. I used to skip going to church in those years because of training, because I was tired. But I didn't feel bad about it because I was addicted and I was lost in the entertainment. And when I played the first professional game, a very important match where I had to prove myself, I scored the crucial goal in the first half. And my coach and all my worldly friends, they were celebrating. And in the second half, which I was playing and I broke my ankle in an important time. And the next 9 months, I couldn't play and I was sidelined from the team. And eventually my position was taken by someone and I was kicked out from the team because I couldn't play anymore. My leg was not strong. When I look back all of this, what is life? Do we celebrate the worldly wins or do we celebrate the worldly failures in our spiritual wins? It was a great blessing for me that I was injured very badly or else I would have lost in the world and I would have been disappeared in the ocean of all this worldly pleasure, entertainment and sins. I thank God for chastening me and keeping me close to Him. We thank Him for our failures, my dear brethren. We thank Him for our sufferings. We thank Him for our loss. Because there is absolutely nothing can you lose in Him. You will gain everything in Him. Amen. When I say we gain everything in Him, the heavenly things, not these worldly things, this will perish. Now I am happy. I praise the Lord for my father's health condition. I praise the Lord for my pain. I praise the Lord for everything that happens in my life because there is absolutely nothing I can say other than praising Him for who He is. Because my life belongs to Him. Same for you. All of you, my dear brethren, you might have gone through a lot of hardships, pain and loss in your lives. And God transformed all your tears into miracles, into something something stronger that the world cannot see. Because one way or other, like now my father is struggling, one way or other, I am part of his suffering because he did all of this for me. I am responsible for the current condition that he is in. Because now I realize as a father, the work that he was doing for me, around me, which I failed to see when I was a kid. When I was a child, I was blind to see the hard work that he did for me because I couldn't see it. He was doing everything behind the screen. He didn't eat properly. He didn't sleep properly. He was keep on speaking from morning 5 o'clock until 9 p.m. Because of that, his lung function, his heart function was affected, and now he's sick, he's struggling. Am I not responsible? Yes, I am. If we compare this in our spiritual life, when our father gave us his revelation, gave us his word to separate us from this world, God expected us that this child may grow. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. When we start our spiritual journey with God, we are like the newborn babes. The babies which desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. What is the growth, my dear brethren? If we do not believe that the God is working around me, even if I cannot see, then what is the definition of growth, my dear brethren? Unfailing confidence is the sign of your growth in God. No matter what happens in my life, no matter what I lose, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whether I live or die, I am the Lord's, and I believe God, and I praise Him for everything. And this is my faith, and this is my growth, because I am drinking the pure milk of the word, not the one that is processed, not the one that is flavored, which is a denominational false doctrines, but the pure milk of the word. The truth is bitter, but it is good for our soul. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 65 verse 24, God says, before they call, I will answer. I know what you are going to ask me. If you are my child, I know what you are going to ask me, and I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. In Matthew 6, the Lord says, look at the birds of the earth. They did not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Can we? No. But is it easy? Absolutely no. That is why we need each other. That is why God wants us to abide with each other like the grapevine, because it is a journey that must be traveled together, like how Israel traveled together, like how disciples walked with Jesus closely, humbly. The same way we are one fellowship, one God's family, one ministry. Never ever try to be isolated, my dear brethren, because God lives in His family. God wants fellowship. That is why He created us. We do the works of God because of His love that shines bright in our lives, my dear brethren. I pray that our God show us His grace and mercy, that He give us His knowledge and wisdom so that we may look good in His sight, my dear brothers. We are drinking the spiritual milk to grow, to see what it's all about. Our confidence in God's word and in God's work all around us, in us, through us, for us, only if we realize these four different dimensions of God's work, only then, when we do God's work from us, it will be perfectly executed in God's name, that Jesus will say, I am pleased by your service, my servant. Amen. As we sing the song, I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea, for come what may, From day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God, I know He cares for me. On mountain bleak, or on the stormy sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. Our heavenly Father is watching over all of us, but let's do not link it with the worldly blessings that we have in this world, because what matters the most is the spiritual life that we live. So I thank God that He has been guiding all of us, helping all of us to understand more and more about His divine purpose. Because when I look back my family, there were a lot of incidents happened in my family that in 1960s my grandparents said there was a deadly storm, they lost their home and everything, my mother could have died. And in 1990s there was another storm in southern part of India, we survived. Then in 2004 tsunami, my whole family survived. But if I go and tell people I thank God because we all survived the natural disasters, it's not a testimony, my dear brethren. It is what is the outcome of those blessings in the spiritual lives of myself and the people that I know in Christ because of God's grace. So all the blessings that has been given to all of us, like the woman who touched the tip of the garment of Jesus, she was healed. But what happened if the woman was healed, but over the time she forgot about her healing and she forgot about the master and she again go into the world? What is the point of the healing then? It's just vanity. God wants us to understand that when He saved us, when we receive the word, we start the spiritual journey as a child. And we have to continue to drink, desire the pure milk of word, God's word, to grow. So when we grow, God's word will continue to work effectively. And when we grow in our faith, when we grow in our understanding of God's work around us, in us, through us, for us, God's work from us will be beautifully carried out by the guidance of our Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank the Lord for today. I bless His holy name for all the words of life that we meditated today. By the grace of God, we shall meet again tomorrow, my dear brethren. God bless you all. Amen.